Let us call to order the regular meeting of the wastewater committee of the town of Discovery Bay. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call's been taken, let the record show, all members are present.
Fantastic. There is no public in the room, is there anybody online?
There is, but there are no hands raised.
Okay, but this would be the time for public comment, where we would invite the public to speak for up to three minutes with regards to anything that is not on the agenda, and not an agendized item. So I'll just ask one more time, is there anything that anybody wants to bring up prior to us getting to the business on the agenda?
No hands raised.
Okay, great, then I'll close public comment. This is a little odd, because you're gonna ask to be approved the draft minutes that you weren't here, you, okay?
I read them, yeah.
All right, great, so you've, motion's been made, been seconded, minutes are approved. And now we're gonna move to updates, and I think Aaron is gonna be on for this, is that right? Go ahead, Aaron, you're up.
Evening. All right, so.
Oh, Aaron, just let me state for those people, Aaron is our water wastewater manager for you, those of you online that may be new and not know, aren't familiar with Aaron. And so he's gonna give us a presentation, go ahead.
Howdy. All right, so what I have here for you is a cross connection update. This was something that the state mandated back in the 80s. And then they revised it in the year 2000. And then we got a notification from the state back in, I want to say, 2018, saying that our cross connection plan looked a little outdated, and we needed to update it. New guidelines. And we started working on it back in 2018, and we had questions for the state. And by the time we got all that information sent to them, they replied back. They were now working on a new cross connection plan handbook policy, and they weren't going to accept ours and to wait for their new policy handbook. Then COVID happened. We didn't hear from them for several years. Well, they released it in December of 2023. It was adopted in July of 2024. So now we have to come up with a cross connection plan via those guidelines. So on the first page there, it's just a simple siphon cross connection backflow that could possibly happen. So the water can flow from one jar to another jar, even though.
Hey, Eric, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Go for it.
So just for those of you that are listening online and for those that may be listening to this in the future, cross connection, by definition, is where you have two water sources that could contaminate each other. In other words, a non-potable water source that may contaminate our potable water. That's the cross connection, is that correct?
A cross connection in simple form is a hose in a pool, or a hose in the delta, or anything that can cause hazard to the drinking water supply system connected directly to it. So this is just a device that separates those two, so nothing from beyond the potable source can enter back into the drinking water source.
And currently within the town, especially in all the deep water lots in town, there is nothing in place to stop that, but new legislation from the state has mandated that we address that issue, is that correct?
Yep, so I'm getting there. So that's what this diagram shows. That's what this
I just wanted to give a general background so
that's
people.
That's what this siphon diagram shows?
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
If you were to look at that, normally we think, you know, water flows one direction, but once it gets in that pipe and you remove the pressure, it will just continuously flow, much like if you were siphoning gas from a vehicle or siphoning from a boat into a bucket of sorts, right? The next image shows kind of how that lines up with Town Discovery Bay. So you have the hose there. That's your secondary water source, would be the delta. And on the right, we have the water main. That water main actually in several spots of Discovery Bay sits below the level of the delta. And off that water main, you have service lines that run up into the house. and then beyond that house, they come back down to either your deck or your dock. And the worry there is, if you have plumbing that goes from the back of your house down to your dock, or you have the ability of running any plumbing from the house down to your dock, that there's a potential cross connection. And what that means is, for some reason, if we lose water pressure or enough water pressure in our water distribution mains, you can actually reverse one source of water to the potable source of water. So you could actually siphon Delta water back into the drinking water supply. So that's just a simple diagram of kind of how that shows. In front of you is also just a draft ordinance, and also the cross-connection policy or cross-connection program that will come after the ordinance. Inside that ordinance, it basically describes what a cross-connection is, what prevents cross-connections, the devices you can use, how the state sees it, what a cross-connection is. And in there, you will see some items laid out for you under section 3, you have a couple bullet points.
Are you in the, you're in this document now?
Yes,
the ordinance
one. Sample ordinance.
Yeah, the sample.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
So right now we have new home developers building homes, and what they use are fire flow suppression sprinklers, basically. The state sees that as water that can age inside the pipe and no longer be potable water. Therefore, if you were to lose water pressure to your house, that water can come backwards from the piping due to gravity back into your house, allowing non-potable drinking water into your system, right? So you can drink that and get that safe. I don't know if you've seen videos of restaurants cooking, and all of a sudden the sprinkler comes on and that water comes out jet black. That's because that water can sit in those pipes and is no longer chlorinated or treated. In our systems, what we have introduced, and along with other districts, is what's called a purge system. So the end of the fire sprinkler system connects to what you through your master bedroom toilet. That way, every time you use the toilet, it actually circulates water through that fire suppression system and keeps it fresh. So there's a good reason there you don't need to have a backflow.
How about any, basically it's every home with its premises with connection to the sewage system. Is every home connected to a sewage system?
I think the sewage system, right. I have that highlighted because that needs to be worded differently. Every house has a sewage system.
Right.
But nothing in your house, nothing with the potable water is connected directly to your sewage
system. They're not part of the same system.
Right. And I think with the, by that...
There's no way the sewer's going up through the faucet.
Right, exactly. So I'm trying to visualize what they mean by that. For example, let's say, I don't know, you had a septic tank business or something
sure.
like that, and for some reason you're running clean water into that to clean out the septic tanks or something to that extent.
Do all new homes in Discovery Bay built after a certain year have fire suppression systems in them?
Yes, I don't remember the year, but I want to say it's like 2015.
So most of Village 4, Village 3, Village... Do you have fire suppression in your house? But everything being built currently does.
They have fire suppression.
And everything they did in Village 4 must, because that was after the law was passed.
Probably not all of them. I would say that.
But the last part, past the guard shack out there.
The east side, yes.
Yeah.
The east side of that village, yes. I'd call it Village 5.
So those are... Those
will have fire suppression sprinklers, and that would happen.
Don't they have backflow devices already in them because of the fire suppression system?
No, because they have the purge bypass system.
Oh, okay.
Which gets you away from that backflow because you're keeping fresh water in the fire flow sprinklers, the fire suppression sprinklers.
Okay. Well, obviously we could get into the real week of this, but it's
yes.
a draft at this point, so I don't
okay,
want
it's a draft, so you,
get
yeah,
too
I'm
far into it.
Go over it, you know. See what makes sense. I have highlighted a couple things that, you know, I need a better definition on what they consider, you know, your connections to sewage systems.
As background for us and on the committee, can you, who's doing this? Who came up with this?
This
who?
Was done by LSCD.
Okay, so we're working with them on this?
Correct. LSCD, New York is coming in.
Okay.
Our water engineer.
Yes.
So this is a project that we're doing in conjunction with them?
Yes.
And I'm sure that they're doing it for a lot of other clients as well, so it's all, it's not
to
like...
To comply with the new state, yeah.
To comply, because they have a lot of clients like us, because they're a public works company. Okay, all right, I'm sorry, go ahead. Anything else?
So basically what a backflow is it prevents back pressure coming from a non-potable source back into our drinking supply system, and you have various types. You have pressure vacuum breakers, you have spill-resistant vacuum breakers, you have RPs, and they come in different sizes, shapes, but they all have certain reasons of why they're used. So in a fire sprinkler system, you would have a double-check system. A double-check system is a sealed unit that does not, if there's any back pressure, it will not leak. It just has two check valves and does not allow anything to go back. And those you can install in the bolt, underground, in line with your plumb. That's for fire suppression sprinklers. If you have anything like irrigation, or you have, in this example, the Delta, or you have a pool system, you have a health issue there. And that health is a hazard, and you can't have those two sources of potable and non-potable come together. So you have a relief valve that dumps anything coming back in the system so it doesn't touch your drinking water supply system. With the event of the Delta, we cannot use the double check system where you can simply install it under the ground, not visible, out of the way. Unfortunately, we have to go with either a pressure ball vacuum breaker, which can release to the atmosphere water, or your reduced pressure principal backflows, which are much more costly and bigger.
You're saying you can't because that's what the state says?
Those two, given your conditions, you can use. You cannot use a double check.
Don't comply with that.
Don't comply because they don't comply. They don't meet that health hazard. So
gotcha.
So we lean towards the pressure vacuum breaker, and we lean towards the reduced principal pressure. The reduced principal pressure you would normally install right after the meter. A pressure vacuum breaker is something you install at the source where your secondary source of water could be, so your deck or your irrigation system. But it has to be like 12 inches above. Great. So that's kind of the cross connection in a nutshell. There's also a draft sample of the technical memorandum of the PVB, which is most likely the direction we would go using a cross-connecting device between the home and the Delta, or a potable drinking source and the Delta. So that would be this one, the Lure and Scale Meeting one. You go through that, it pretty much lays out the entire detail.
Okay. What's the time frame on that? What's the state saying compliance needs to be?
The technical, your cross-connection control program, 2025. I think it's July 2025. They approved this July of 2024. You have the program.
That's what I'm saying. That's when this has to be finalized and established and submitted to the state.
The ordinance is on us, but the ordinance goes before the program. The program goes after the ordinance, and that part, yeah, the process, the program, but then that's going to dictate how your backflow cross connections get installed and managed and operated.
But has the compliance from the state indicated when individual homes have to be, is there a deadline for them to be?
A year or a...
Like, we had a deadline for water meters, Rachel, was
right.
We had a deadline for water meters, it had been put in by a certain year.
I haven't seen a deadline.
Okay.
When it has to be done, it just has when your program's got to be done.
It's a complicated situation, because we have to figure out who has the authority for compliance. How do we force homeowners to spend $800 to $1,000 to put this in? We have an obligation to report who has and who hasn't. We have to maintain the records.
We have to maintain records, just like we do with
It can be audited at any time, but who's responsible for enforcing that, and under what authority? I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered.
Yeah, we have the authority. It's our drinking water system, so we have the authority to make sure that a backflow device gets installed. Well, we terminate service because we've got to protect the water service, our drinking source.
Having the authority and being capable of enforcing it are two completely separate issues.
Yes.
I can see where this could be complicated.
Yeah, we're going to come up with a program, and then we'll have a compliance date. We're going to communicate that. So we're talking with Trepepe Smith to help us do a communication plan to go street by street and have maybe some town halls or open house to explain the process. And then we'll have a date, an end date, where these need to be installed. And then after that date, we're able to shut off water if they're not compliant.
Okay, that's
state mandated project.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. At some point, the enforcement has to either be through fines or through. We have to figure that program out.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do that now. We haven't had that opportunity, but we've had that with the businesses and who have to get their backflows tested annually. Sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it either falls off their plate or they just neglect it, and we send, I think, 3 notification letters, and after the 3rd one, notify, we would terminate service, but it hasn't gotten that far.
Carolyn, before I go on, do you have any comments or questions?
No, just the concerns about, you know, how, you know, this is a very short time period when you're talking about June. And then letting the public know and putting everything together. And it's, you know, so many times these things are so new, and when they start coming out, you're going to get change after change after change.
Yes.
So.
Well, which is what I was going to, that's exactly the point I was going to make. And the fact that the policy has to be in place by a certain date, and yet we don't have a deadline for that. We want to make sure that we do this as quickly as possible so we give the homeowners plenty of time to comply without throwing it at them and saying, okay, you've got 30 days.
Right.
That needs to be considered when we put our policy together, and hopefully get leniency from, or understanding from the state that this is not something we're gonna make people do in 60 days, you know?
Okay. I mean, that would be insane. You have 2,300 homes.
Yeah. How many?
2,300 homes.
Are affected by this? That's actually good news. We have 6,500 homes in the town of Discover Bay, so 2,300 is only a third. Or half, about 40%. So I'm surprised that you've already calculated that.
Yes, it's every house that sits on deep water or the lake. Anything that has access.
What about homes with pools?
That follows under the Contra Costa County. They have to follow their plumbing codes.
Oh, okay, so we don't have to worry about that.
Usually when somebody does an autofill on a pool, if you pay attention, you can actually hear there's an air gap, which is a technical backflow prevention device.
Okay,
all right.
All right, that makes it a little simpler then. Okay, 2,300 homes, that's not as bad as I thought it was. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Yep, fine.
Thank you for that. What's next on our agenda here? On to discussion items regarding existing chair and vice chair. Would you like to make a motion on that, Karen?
Yes. Kevin and I have already discussed it, and I make a motion that he be the chair for the next year, and I will be the chair of the following year.
I second that motion, and it's done. Thank you. Discussion regarding the sewer line access road. Okay, this is over at the Newport Point Division.
Mm-hmm.
Who's talking about this?
This is Mike.
Mike, are you on the line?
Hello, yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you. How you doing, Mike? Good to hear you.
Doing well. Can you see me?
Now we can, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, we can see you. Nice red plaid shirt. Go ahead. Now's for verification.
There you go. All right, well, thank you. So the Newport Point subdivision, part of this project, there were a lot of moving parts with getting the wastewater from this project, a lot of different avenues, put the sewer line in the street, or build a pump station to send it over to the Newport lift station, or send a sewer line up to the north, across the vacant property to the north of this subdivision. So the developer chose to go with the sewer line to the north across the vacant property, which they purchased. so they could give us an easement for the sewer line, and they prepared the plans for it. And as we're, you know, going through the whole plan review process and everything and getting towards the end, we told them, hey, we need an access road to be able to access this sewer line properly. And there's an exhibit attached here to the staff report that shows that. And then they said, oh, well, we already submitted to the county for the sewer line to go to the north, and that took 6 months for approval and so on and so forth. Now we got to go back to them again, but we want to start building houses. And so, like, okay, let's have an agreement that you are going to basically guarantee that this road is going to get built so that we can let you move forward with your project. And so they were agreeable to that. And so I kind of highlighted 7 points here in the agreement that the road be built at the developer's expense, so no expense to the town. They're actually going to deposit with us $150,000 as a guarantee that the road will be built. And in case they don't build the road, then we can step in and build the road and use their money that they're giving us to build the road. And if we run short, then they'll have to give us whatever remaining balance is needed to finish building the road. And they're going to grant us an easement for the access road and the sewer line. And up until the point that the road is built, the developer will be responsible for maintaining the sewer line at their expense. And if there's any sewer overflows, they've agreed to pay any sewer overflow fees or penalties that might come. And then the last item here is actually a kind of a really good thing for the town, because right now in our specifications, the water system comes with a 3-year guarantee, but the wastewater system comes with a 1-year guarantee. So we do want to merge everything moving forward to a 3-year guarantee for anything that we get from a developer. So in this agreement, they've agreed to include that language that we'll have a 3-year guarantee, not only on the water system, but the entire sewer system, the sewer line going to the north, and the access road. So that gets us a 3-year guarantee on facilities that we would normally only get a 1-year guarantee. So that's kind of a plus for the town there.
Was that kind of a, kind of an oversight or just a discrepancy in time frames that has been built into our contracts from the past? Is that what that was? The 1-year, 3-year thing?
No, it's more that the town adopted the standards for the wastewater following the Central Sanitary District standards, which is 1 year.
Yeah.
And the town adopted the Diablo Water District standard,
gotcha,
which had a 3-year standard. So we're trying to bring those together moving forward.
The Winchester Mystery House that is Discovery Bay. Yes.
Good words, sir.
So what you're telling me is all in this contract. You can't see me, but it's all in this contract.
I can see you.
It's all in this document right here that I'm holding that has a signature at the back. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have anything?
No, this is good.
For clarification, who's going to own the sewer system when it's completed?
We will.
So what are they guaranteeing us then? Well, for 3 years, there will be no problems with it.
If something fails. Yeah, if there's a...
For 3 years, they guarantee nothing fails. After that, they're off the hook.
Yeah, three years.
Cool. And same thing with the distribution system belongs to us, obviously, too, because we have to own it. Up to, like every place up to the curb or up to the meter, right?
Yep.
Our side of the meter. And that's guaranteed for 3 years to the meter. If there's a flaw in workmanship or something that causes staff to go in and make repairs, they're going to reimburse us for that.
Yeah, and in my experience, what typically happens is sometimes they don't get very good compaction over the water lines. And that doesn't show up for a couple of years after a couple of rains, couple of winters. And then the pavement settles. Then the county says, hey, come out and fix this. If your water line course caused it to fail. If that happens, the developer has to repair the street.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Good job on that. The sewer, the access road is going to be compaction gravel. It's not going to be paved.
Correct.
Okay. And it's going to basically run inside the fence line from the new access road over to across from the lift station. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So this diagram we're looking at, that curve is the curve of Newport Drive. That's the way the road naturally curves and it kind of follows that. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. You got it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have any further questions.
No, I'm good. I mean,
yeah, nice job.
Yeah,
nice job of getting that taken care of.
It's got us covered, so yeah, it's
all right. It was a team effort. You know, Aaron and Dina and everyone, was a good team effort, and Veolia helped a lot too. So
great. Well, I think we got a good team, and thanks for catching all those little things and making sure that that fiscally our constituents aren't being hung out to dry and stuff. Appreciate that. Anything else you got for us on this one?
No, sir.
Okay. Are you on for the next item also, or is that all we had before?
No, I don't think there's anything else for
okay,
me.
Okay, well, it's great seeing you, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
At the Hermes.
Tonight.
Wait.
Tonight?
You will see him tonight.
Oh, I'll see you later on tonight.
This item will be coming to the board this
okay. For the signature to approve the contract and the signatures, is correct? Okay. Very good. Thanks, Mike. We'll see you later on then.
Thank you. Yes, bye-bye.
Item number three, contract with Herwood Engineering. Somebody speak to that, please.
That would be Aaron.
All right. Herwood Engineering.
This would be A3.
E2. E3. All right. Well, I've had issues getting there. Sorry.
I'm finally there.
There we go. All right. All right. So here is basically an amending to the contract for Herwood's Engineering. Since probably the beginning, the contract with Herwood Engineering has always been about $75,000 a year for their general services contract. And lately, as of recent, we've had many developers reaching out to us, asking us questions, requiring us to dig deeper into our sewer system that Gregory handles, getting information for them to get the information they need to go ahead and develop their project. This could be anything from flows, inverts, lift stations, and anytime that stuff we send to Gregory, he bills us for it and it comes out of the general services contract. But we also take that and send that bill to the developers for them to reimburse us, because we're not asking for that information, that's something the developer's reaching out for. So they pay that bill. Unfortunately, the way it's set up is it's just a single service, general services contract, and it comes out of that line item no matter what. Even though we get paid back from the developer for that bill, it doesn't change the expenditure part under that general services contract. So if it's $75,000 and the developer's paying $75,000 and we've already used $25,000 with Herbert, it looks like we went over $25,000. So this is just to add $50,000 to the general services contract for Herwood Engineering. I'm currently working on getting a contract or a new contract, amending this current general services contract, or getting a new contract with Herwood to fix this the way they bill.
Two.
Yes.
Yes. Makes sense.
So it'll be all over the place. Contracts are
better tracked because it'll be separate, two separate contracts. Right. One for consulting services that's reimbursable, and one for what our contract is that we signed it for. So
correct.
What we have in front of us today is a request to increase the existing contract, because we're not set up that way yet, by $50,000, because they have said we're gonna be doing $50,000 more work and it's not covered under your current contract. Is that
correct?
Which is convoluted. So
the developers already have spent $50,000.
We'll get the money back, I get that.
We already did get the money back. The problem is we've now gone through the entire $75,000 general services contract with Herwood. And on paper, we can't pay them because we've met the end of that contract.
Well, that's okay.
Money-wise.
Yeah, seriously.
Greg's not on the line, isn't he? No, I'm just kidding.
We're just trying to keep the books clean with that. So the developers have already used up $52,000 of that general services contract. So we're just trying to replenish the amount that they've spent and then get a new contract with Herbert for a different bucket for the developers.
Okay, so I'm clear. The original $75,000 contract was for this kind of work?
Just general services for us.
For us.
That's, okay, mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
And
so
that, yeah.
We were unaware that there were so many developers coming in, reaching out to Greg.
Mm-hmm.
When does their contract expire?
In June.
Huh?
So we always do a new contract on an annual basis. So it ends in June, and the new contract starts in July 1. So for July 1, we'll be doing two contracts for Herbert Engineering,
mm-hmm.
one for general services for town-based work only. Then we'll be creating a new developer
contract.
That'll be a blanket contract.
Mm-hmm.
It will continue on. We probably are not going to do anyone every year. And then all those funds that get expended out of that get actually pulled out of the developer account, because all developers give us a developer deposit.
That part I'm clear on. What I'm a little unclear on is this is February, and you're telling me that Herbert's already spent their general services contract with us.
Herbert has not. Technically, yes, but the developers ate up $50,000 of that general services contract.
So part of what we used up was what we got reimbursed, and it hasn't been. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's correct.
I was gonna say, but I don't want Greg to stop working for the next 4 months until the new contract.
No, they haven't. Well, he isn't complying right now. Maybe he has.
I mean, I know he would, but you know what I'm saying.
Correct.
It sounds to me like he's like he was out of money
he
and
was
only
applying
February.
All the funds to the general services.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. What's our annual contract with them typically?
$75,000.
That's what I okay. Yeah, clears that up. Okay.
No, I'm good.
I think it's great to separate those two things, especially with big new projects coming on board. It was a little. The reason we haven't done that in the past is because we just had a little project here,
mm-hmm.
and we've been dealing with Hoffman for so long that it was just like an ongoing thing, and it didn't seem to be as necessary, I don't think. But I think it's a great policy to put together, and a couple of things you're asking for here is for us to recommend to, as this is coming to board meeting tonight. Okay, a couple
mm-hmm.
of things. First of all, I need to go back a minute. I think we would agree that we would recommend to the board tonight to move forward with,
yes.
With this project.
Mm-hmm.
We also would recommend to the board that we move forward with the bypass road and all that goes along with that contract that Mike is going to explain to them. That comes as a recommendation
mm-hmm.
from us. All we can do is recommend, and then I would also recommend that we move forward with this, with the separation of policy
mm-hmm.
contracts, and that we, I guess that's it. That's really what you're asking for, right? Okay. I think those were all really good ideas.
I think they're great.
And I think we can support them to the board of directors meeting tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
We've asked, I think, all the questions we can.
How many developers have contacted you other than the ones like
so we have one right
across
the street. We've had Newport.
Mm-hmm.
I think blanking on the name, that they named it something different now. Camp Ages,
now CREP, yeah.
And then we've had a developer reach out to us regarding the vacant lot there, Alley 4 and Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
So just those,
okay.
Shikini, we've done a little bit with Shikini, but really Newport.
Okay.
Has taken a big chunk of that because they're trying to
just
get to the lift station. Pantages, we got their lift station going on, so I mean, those,
okay.
We started getting into the actual projects, that's where it starts to get.
And remember, we built a whole new well over Pantages,
mm-hmm.
so that was a lot of work from our water engineers.
Absolutely.
On that. Well, that's water, but on the wastewater with the lift station, I can remember. This is just getting in the weeds for the bypass, for the connection valves, right? For the cross
connection. That is for, that's, yeah, I'm not bringing that to the meeting. To
yeah,
the, that's for you guys to review and bring back any questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, 30 years of instruction, I'm looking at this and it still looks like Greek to me. So.
Yeah, and if it's 2 o'clock on Thursday, you got to have a question, you can call me and I'll try to answer the best I can at that point. I really want to work that one out.
Okay.
What exactly are you bringing? Here's my book right tonight.
To the board meeting tonight,
yeah,
there's going to be the access road and the Herbert.
Yeah, these two.
Nothing about the cross connection.
No.
Good.
This is just a.
We're not ready to discuss that
it
yet.
It was just
yep.
an update to inform you
Very
this
good.
Is coming. And we are working
I agree.
On a plan to roll this out.
It, okay. That being resolved, you're better, unless you have a future agenda item, you're better qualified to figure that out than we are. And is there anything, do you have anything else?
No, we need to go on to the, never mind. I was looking at...
You're on the big meeting.
Yeah, I was on the big meeting. Wait a minute, no, there's a...
That's yours. You can have that later. If there's nothing further,
I do have an update. That's where it was on there.
We skipped there's talking for updates. Go ahead.
Just a quick update. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen before the next meeting, which is why I'm bringing it up. But we do have a sewer issue happening here on the board directly in front of the community center.
Oh.
We were doing some exploratory work here for the laterals community center. We had some backing up issues, and I said, okay, well, let me find out where the lateral runs to it in the main. Started opening up manholes out in the street, and I found out that basically from right before the driveway here in the community center, the first driveway, to right before the second driveway, that entire sewer main has a belly in it. And what a belly in a sewer main is big of like a slide, right? You want to go down the slide consistently. Well, a sewer main is kind of the same way. You don't want to have a belly. If you had a belly in a slide, you just sit there,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we ran the camera and went from one manhole to the other, and within 10, 15 feet, the entire camera was submerged under water, basically wastewater. So we went to the other manhole and started coming back in this way. Again, we got about 10 to 20 feet before the entire camera was submerged. That's not good because you can actually have build up of fog and grass and create like a large plug and have a sanitary sewer overflow upstream from that spot. So we kind of deemed it as an emergency to go ahead and install a new sewer main for a manhole. We're not changing the manholes. They're going to stay there, but we're going from one manhole to another. We're going to make it nice and even from one spot to the other. Not even, but downslope from one manhole to the other.
So that's gravity feet, so a low spot's
gravity
no good.
Feet, correct.
And the stuff that accumulates there can break away and cause problems down the road as it floats away because it's built up or started to grow things and all kinds of bad stuff.
Yes. So we did, we noticed it in the camera day. We wanted to see it by flushing the system with the back truck, if that would help clear things up. Probably needed anyways, just because we saw it was underwater. And we didn't get any better image quality. The water we used to flush it stayed there, so we couldn't get any better video quality of that. And that pipe material is clay pipe.
I was gonna say it's clay, huh?
You know, it's 5 foot sticks of clay pipe. Pretty brittle stuff. You cannot go down there and replace just a section because if you were to tie new material onto it, it's just gonna crumble apart. So we're replacing the whole thing with new
manhole to manhole. Okay, and that's under emergency services?
Under emergency services. Okay. Veoli and Gregory working their butts off to make sure everything is proper on that, on the specs, to make sure we get the proper compaction and proper
slopes
and all that.
How do you shoot that slope?
With lasers.
That's what I thought. That's why I asked.
Open and trench it up, and then you use a stick from one end to another, and you laser it out.
Yeah. How long?
On a stick.
On a stick.
How long do you anticipate the project will go to manhole to get it done?
It's looking like 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to affect access to the parking lot based on our pickleball players?
The first driveway access is going to be probably blocked off for a time period, but the whole thing has got to be trenched open. Luckily, the second driveway will be open. But
the manhole's this side of it?
The manhole's on this side
of
it, but it will be a little tight. Getting in and out, there will be traffic control to help people get in and out.
Well, you know what it's going to... Well, I mean, but after hours, they're still going to have access, or on Saturdays or whatever, they're still going to have access to the parking lot. You know, that'd be a mess if they didn't.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, not great. It's unfortunate, because that's...
When do you think you'll be starting, rough idea?
It could be starting anytime this month. We're expecting a task authorization from Anthony, that's in their capital team.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get that, it's gonna be up to the contractor to come out here and start digging. That's gonna be probably weather dependent.
Well, I was gonna ask you about the rain,
yeah.
Okay.
Is that a contractor job or a T&M job? How does that go? Do we contract with our subcontractor?
Bioli reached out to Mercy Process to WR Farm, who came out here and did work for us along another pipeline project. Did a great job, kept everything.
The one down by the steakhouse?
Steakhouse and Ashview.
Okay. They give us a price though, right?
Yes.
If they bid it, they don't bid it, give us obviously.
The estimate was like $270,000 to $300,000.
$270,000 for this?
$270,000 to $300,000, yep.
Okay. Now, it sounds like a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you know, you're dealing with a manhole, you're dealing with a sewer main that's 9 to 11 feet deep. That's pretty deep.
And there's probably going to be some curb issues too there.
It's right in the gutter pan.
Right against the curb, huh?
Yep, so the sidewalk may need to be removed, you know, at these sections.
Okay.
And then you're going to have groundwater that you got to dewater, or, you know, a lot of possibilities there, so.
Nice sleuth work finding it, because I'm sure
it's
that
not
it's
exactly
been there.
Something I wanted to find, but you know.
It's been there for a long time, but at least we're addressing it, and maybe it'll solve some of the low water issues we have here within the community center at this point too. We have some issues there.
Yes, we do.
Okay, anything else you got for us? Anthony, you want to say hello? Okay, if there's nothing more.
No, all good. I just want to thank you all ahead of time, including you, Kevin, for all the questions that I'm going to ask. And I'd like to set up a time in the next few weeks to go out.
Yeah, give you a tour.
Yeah.
Visually, it helps to see these things.
Last tour was 4 years ago. And
Things have changed
a lot. Lots changed since then.
Where are your words?
You good?
I'm good.
All right, I'm going to turn the meeting.